Today on the School of Podcasting.com, we've got an interview with the author of the book, Podcasting Year One. We're going to get some insights about MailChimp, and I'm going to pick up where I left off last week about making it easy for your audience to consume your podcast.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. I'm in much better shape than I was last week. If you're new to the program, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to monetizing gear, everything. Seriously, everything you need to start a podcast, you can find in one place. So quit wasting your time. Just come on over to schoolofpodcasting.com. If you would like to join in on the conversation, I would absolutely cherish hearing your voice come through my voicemail line. You can call it in, 888-563-3228. You can also use the voicemail button out of the website. You can email me if you're more of a typist. It is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can also leave a comment out at our blog. So there's tons of ways that you can communicate. If you feel like singing our praises, you can actually leave a review for us on iTunes. I would be deeply appreciative of that. Just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes. And, oh, why not? If you'd like to connect with me on Twitter, I'm @learntopodcast. And we are going to start off. A couple episodes ago, I was talking about one of the things you can do with your podcast is actually take your RSS feed and put it into a mail program, and it will actually automatically generate a newsletter for you. And this is Paul Clifford. He's the author of the book, Podcasting Church. Actually, he's the author of a lot of different books. But Paul wanted to chime in on what he does with that particular technique. Take it away, Paul.
Hey, Dave. This is Paul Clifford of Trinity Digital Media, author of Podcasting Church, Tweeting Church, and the upcoming Church Video Summer School, which I've released the first month of, and the second month is coming probably by the time you release your next podcast. So in your last podcast, you talked about a newsletter and scheduling using a company that I won't mention, because the one that I use, and this is free for up to 2,000 people, and I've only got about 200 on my list, so it works perfectly well for me, is MailChimp. With MailChimp, you can put in your RSS feed, and that's, in fact, what I do is every week I've got an update that goes out. Now, I go another step, and I write a unique blurb and have a giveaway on mine. In fact, my second book, Tweeting Church, is free if you go to bit.ly/tweetchurchfree and sign up there, then people get that. To get them to sign up for the newsletter. And then they also get weekly content, and I try and give away something every week. So that's just something I do on my newsletters, and I thought it might be helpful to your audience. Love the show. Been listening since probably 2005. So keep up the good work. Later, Dave.
Thank you very much, Paul. It was great seeing you. He was at the summit that I was at in Kentucky a couple weeks ago. And, got to hang out a little bit. Really great guy. And if you're definitely in a church, you definitely want to check out his stuff. He's kind of, we talked about this a little bit, how you can have a niche such as podcasting. You can have a niche such as church and worship and things like that. And then you can combine the two. So you get things like Podcasting Church. Kathy from Special Mouse. If I think I mentioned her in the last episode. It's another example of there are plenty of Disney podcasts, and Kathy has Special Mouse, and this is a podcast about going to Disney with people of special needs. Like her last episode was talking about taking a baby to Disney and the different things you can do that. If you have somebody who has some sort of physical restriction, how they can make their trip better, you can find that at specialmouse.com. Another other quick shout out I want to do here before we move on. Jim Hollis is now on episode 5 of the Ministry Encouragement podcast. And if you are a person, if you're a minister, it's all about kind of taking care of yourself and encouraging yourself as Well, we know the world is kind of against us. And so if you sometimes need a little pep talk, he's got a great podcast over at Ministry Encouragement Podcast. Another new podcast coming from a graduate of the School of Podcasting. And what's great about that, here's one thing else I wanted to talk about, Jim, is he did literally, he jumped into the pool. We're going to talk about jumping into pools here in a second. He jumped into the pool because we kept saying, just do the first episode, quit thinking about it. And by the time he got to, I think, episode 4, he said, is it okay if I redo episode 1? Because he'd learned so much from episodes 2, 3, and 4. And I said, here's the beautiful thing, Jim. Again, you are in control. And if you're unhappy with episode 1, I wouldn't erase it. Keep a copy of it because you're going to laugh at it in about 10 episodes. But if you want to reproduce that podcast, you can do it. You're in control. And that's one of the beautiful things about podcasting. All right, I'm never sure where to do this, at the beginning, the end, the middle. Wanted to talk a little bit about the School of Podcasting. There have been some new updates there. I have upgraded. The membership script is now using a thing called Digital Access Pass. It's a great plugin. The good news about the School of Podcasting has always been there's a lot of information. The bad news about the School of Podcasting was there's a lot of information. So I've streamlined that and reorganized the whole inside, got a lot of great feedback from the current members of the School of Podcasting, all of which I kicked out of the school. And you're like, huh? That's right. Actually, are you ready for this? I have changed the pricing at the School of Podcasting. It used to be $40 a month. And now it is only $40 a month for the first month. And then after that, it's only $5. And you're like, what? What you talking about, Willis? It's true. And the reason for that is after the first month, most of your heavy lifting is done. And I did some research, and I have people that have been around for years paying me $5, and they still enjoy the new tutorials that I put out and the insights and things like that. So I would rather have, and I had to reassess, why did I start the School of Podcasting? Well, originally I started it to help put myself through school. And the reason I still have the School of Podcasting is, number one, I love podcasting. I eat, drink, sleep, everything podcasting. And I was trying, basically I priced myself out of the market. I want to help everyone start a podcast. I can't do it for free because when I graduated from college from the second time with my teaching degree, I have huge amounts of student loans. So what I did was I took out some of the information. That way I could justify lowering the price. So it used to be you got a copy of my book, More Podcast Money. Well, now if you want that, you can just go to morepodcastmoney.com, because not everybody that signs up at the School of Podcasting wants to make money. Many people just want to help people. Maybe you're a nonprofit trying to get your word out. Maybe there's a great law firm that is out helping college students know their rights on campus. They really need a podcast, but they're not really in it to make money. And you can benefit from many different ways from podcasting, but more podcast money may not interest you. So why should I have you pay a higher membership fee to get something that you're never going to use? So I took that out of there. I have readjusted the resource section now. I have scaled back some of the tutorials because there were so many tutorials, you kind of got overwhelmed by all the different options. And I kind of said, look, here are the ways to do it that 99.9% of the people are doing it. And it just makes things easier. So because I reduced the content, I reduced the price. And you can find that now at schoolofpodcasting.com. Your first month as of right now, and I'm recording this on August 25th, 2012, $39.99 for the first month and $5 for every month after that. So give that a shot. Would love to hear your feedback on that. In the future, I will actually be having singular products. So if you just want to buy how to set up WordPress for a podcast, if you just want to have, you know, how do I promote my podcast? How do I get into iTunes? How do I do this? How do I do that? I might have singular items as well coming in the future. And this new platform will let me do all of this. It'll let me do singular products. It'll let me do a membership site. The membership site is always going to be the better way to go because you can sign up for that first month, go in, consume the content. And the other thing that I like about this is I had people that were literally, because the fee, they really were trying to get their money's worth, and they were blasting through all these videos to where they really weren't absorbing the information. They were trying to move too fast. And I realize it's great. I want people to keep moving, but I don't want them to have to feel like it's a sprint. Sometimes marathon podcasting is a marathon. So I say that just to let you know I have adjusted the price and would love any kind of feedback on that. I'm going to be making a tour video here shortly so you can kind of get a peek in behind the scenes of what I'm talking about. You can see all the tutorials that are listed there as well as the resources. And so I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the School of Podcasting. I mean, I literally, if you have a if you have a question, or if you're stuck on podcasting right now, you know, email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, because I'm almost guaranteed that I've got a tutorial for it. You know, somebody said the other day, well, you know, I'm trying to do this and I need to learn how to tag my audio files. Here you go. Here's the tutorial. It's great. It makes it easy for support for me. Most of my support is here. Here's some tips on this. And oh, by the way, here's the video. So check it out, schoolpodcasting.com. I look forward to seeing you on the inside. Next up, before we get to my interview with Donovan Atkison, who is the author of the book Podcasting Year One, I wanted to update you on a couple of things. A couple episodes ago, I was talking about I kind of felt pulled, like I was going to be selling out if I promoted a company who didn't always have the cheapest price. Well, I reached out to their affiliate manager, in this case, it's B&H Photo. And the beautiful thing is, those people get it. They understand that the only thing we have is our integrity. And they said, absolutely. If they're, you know, if they are getting beat on a price, by all means, please first let them know and they will do their best to match it. And if they can't, or for whatever reason, something's going on that they can't beat the price, they said, absolutely. If you want to link to someplace else, it's not that hardcore where you have to do that. So I appreciate that. And that is the update on that story. The other thing I wanted to do is I've been promoting. In fact, I just bought one for my wife. We're going to be starting a podcast here shortly about the Audio-Technica. It's the, I believe it's ATR-2100 USB. This is the $49 microphone that I'm always speaking about. And if you're looking to pick one up, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/2100. And the thing that had me worried about this is if you go out to Amazon, you'll see where there's one negative review. And the person said that the mic just quit working. And lo and behold, poor Kathy over at specialmouse.com, she bought a Blue Snowball, which is a condenser microphone, picked up everything, and to make a long story short, it didn't work with her computer. There was something, some driver didn't work, something like that. So on my recommendation, she bought the 2100 microphone, plugged it in, worked great, sounded great, wonderful, and it just quit working. And so when I was on the Podcasters Roundtable, one of the panelists there has like mics out the yin yang. I want to be Mike Phillips when I grow up. This man has more microphones and more gear in his basement than I think they do at, what's the one, but Guitar Center, right? You can find him, by the way, at mikephillips.me. You can find Podcasters Roundtable at podcastersroundtable.com. That's the new little Google Hangout thing that Ray Ortega has been nice enough to have me involved with. And looking forward to more of those. Just anytime we get to hang out. I've officially, you know how you have that guy that nicknames everybody? Like my poor dog doesn't come to his name because I never call him his name. I am now officially dubbing Ray Ortega Brother Ray because I love the dude like brother and his name's Ray. So it just fits, right? But podcastersroundtable.com. But Mike was saying, that's also where I met Mike Russell, who we were talking about in last week's episode. And Mike knows mics. Basically, Mike Phillips, and has gear again at the wazoo. And I said, have you heard of any problems with the AT? I think it's ATR 2100. And he said, basically, no. And he's a big fan of it as well. And that was very good to hear. And I completely take Mike's word for it because he's got no, what's the word? He's got nothing to lose. Again, there's a guy with integrity. So I say that because I was really worried, and that's one of the things I think as we head towards the interview here, since you have integrity, if you're going to interview an author, read their book first. Because I heard about Donovan's book, and you can find his book over at mypodcastingexperience.com, or I'll have the links down in the show notes if you want to order it off my site. I'll get a little smidge of my affiliate love there. Is I hadn't read his book yet. I'd read maybe a quarter of it. It's a really short read. It's an easy read. That's the beautiful thing. And then I interviewed him, and then I finished his book, and I wish I had gone the other way around. So that would be one advice, is read the author's book before you have them on the show. It just makes for, it would have made for better conversation. Not that this is bad conversation, but I say this because Donovan is of the podcasting live mindset. Nothing wrong with that. It's different. It's different than what I teach. I tend to think it's a little larger learning curve than what I do, where I record my voice and I mix my music in later. Donovan is a guy that wants to podcast live. You'll hear where he talks about going into video and live streaming. And so when Donovan jumped into podcasting, he jumped into the deep end of the pool. And so when I was reading his book, I'm like, man, I'm surprised Donovan has, you know, he's not on the ledge at this point, because he really just jumped into everything. And so my thought on this book is, it's not a bad book, but realize he's talking about a form, I guess, a style of recording a podcast that just doesn't fit my style. And again, the beautiful thing is you can podcast however you want. And so, but if you're a person that's looking to maybe later get into streaming live video and podcasting live, where you just have your music and things like that, you might want to check out this book. It's really interesting because you see him go through four different upgrades of software and hardware and things like that. So it really does, for me, it shows you the importance of planning your podcast. And speaking of that, I just got off a chat with somebody who shall remain anonymous, and just say one of the things when we talk about co-hosts and passion and planning your podcast, if you're picking a co-host, one of the things you need, we've always said somebody that has the same passion as you. You also want somebody who takes your audio quality as serious as you do. So if you're going to go out and invest a lot of money in gear, and they're going to go get a little stick microphone that's $15, that could cause some tension. Or if you're going to have a designated room that is quiet, and they're in a room with their children playing video games, that's not going to work. So something to think about when you're looking for a co-host. So this interview is interesting. We talk a little gear. We talk about the book. We talk about what has inspired him to start this. And you'll hear where he actually started off with one podcast and led to two and three and four. That's the other thing that I would hesitate to say. In 1 year, start multiple podcasts. I would start one and do that podcast well and really grow that audience. So, but like I said, Donovan jumped into the deep end of the pool. And here is my interview with Donovan Atkinson. The name of the book is Podcasting Year One. Well, joining me via Skype, he's just published a book called Podcasting Year One. It's Donovan Atkinson. Thanks for coming on the show.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And I guess we'll just get into, tell us a little bit, what inspired you to write this book?
Inspiration, you know, as sometimes that happens, it comes from some really odd places. I had actually been toying around with doing some digital products and things like that, and I was... Of course, I have an association with Cliff Ravenscraft, and he actually, in an email exchange, said, hey, why don't you look at doing some digital products? Well, started toying around with the idea, and I was like, well, what can I do? And I've been had been doing podcasting for a little over a year, and I sat down and I talked with my wife, and she said, well, why don't you just chronicle what you've learned during your first year in podcasting? And I was like, you know what? That is an excellent idea. I can go from the very beginning and work my way all the way through it. And so I started working on that. I did an outline, and a week later, I walked in on a Wednesday morning, July 18th, matter of fact, and 15 minutes later was told to hit the door and not come back at my job.
So, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had been with the company, even though it had changed hands in 2009, I had been with the company almost 13 years.
And wow.
So that pretty much put a fire under my behind to get the book finished. Yep.
So is this more of a how-to, or is it more just insights into what worked and what didn't work, or what can we kind of expect?
It's kind of a combination of both, really. I tried my best to, like I said, chronicle from the very first time that I started podcasting, and I even go through and say, you know, what were the reasons why I wanted to do a podcast? You know, what was the catalyst? And so I tried to share that, share what my mindset was while I was, you know, getting into it, and what software I started using and what hardware I was using. And so that's the reason why I say it's kind of a combination of the two. So what I wanted was for someone to take the book, could read through it, look at all of the information that I detailed as far as the software, the hardware, maybe even look at my hard, you know, my upgrade paths for both. And it's, you know, I don't try to say, look, it's the all-inclusive definitive guide for a novice to get into podcasting, because as you well know, there are multiple avenues of achieving the same goal when it comes to podcasting, as far as what route you take and what equipment you use and how you start out and et cetera, et cetera. But I just really wanted to give a little bit of myself back to the community and say, hey, this is what worked for me, along with some of the things that didn't. And hopefully it'll be educational for you. And here you go.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us about the podcast that you're creating, that kind of that you're chronicling in the book.
A friend of mine actually had a site that he had been running for about 2 years, and it was called Tifton Talks, TiftonTalks.com. And it was really nothing more than a forum site. So he was getting tired of running the thing. And so I said, hey, would you be willing to sell it? And so we worked out a deal, and I bought it, and I revamped it, and I ran it. So I flipped that over to a WordPress site and decided, hey, this would be a good opportunity to maybe try podcasting. And so I started a podcast called Tifton Talks Today, I believe was the name of it. And the reason why I'm having difficulty remembering it is because it was very short-lived. So a couple of months later, I woke up one morning and something just hit me, and I thought of the domain name South Geek. And I was like, okay, I'm in the South. I'm a geek. I'm somewhat of an oxymoron because I'm very technically inclined. And typically people look at Southern people in Georgia and Alabama and in the Southern region as, you know, I won't say dumb hicks, but less educated than most, especially when it comes to technical matters. So I created a website called southgeek.me. And started a podcast where it was just me talking about the latest news in tech. And then I started bringing in some of my friends, and we just did our 52nd episode last week. And that really is what the book kind of chronicles, is that particular podcast. It's our take on the latest in technical news, but from a Southern point of view.
Very cool. Now, how many, is that the only podcast you do now? Are you doing more than one, or?
Well, I do that one. We just recently launched another one called BenOnBeer.com, and it is a podcast about microbrews and home brewing, and with my good friend Ben Rayberg. And it's located at benonbeer.com. And he's just got a fascination with home brewing. He's done it before. And he's actually one of my co-hosts on the South Geek Ramblin' Review podcast. And so once he developed that site, I said, well, why don't we do a podcast? So far, it's been a successful one. I mean, my numbers aren't like, you know, fantastic. The best downloads I ever had on the South Geek show was around 800, and it just happened to be a very sensitive topic. But we average around about 75 to 100 per episode, and I do audio and video. And Ben on Beer within three episodes is already outdistancing the South Geek show. And I think it's because of the topic. You know, pretty much everybody likes beer. And I tried to turn a negative into a positive with the whole losing the job situation, and I created a podcast called I'm What? Fired, and I've done three episodes of that one where I'm just sitting here and saying, look, this is, you know, hopefully other people can relate. You know, this is what I'm feeling, you know, and just kind of detailing my little journey as I went from shock to being, you know, ticked off to rage to where I am today.
Well, being that you've been doing this now for a year, is there anything that you look back and go, oh man, I, you know, if somebody was starting out today, I definitely wouldn't do this?
You know, right off the top of my head, I think probably one of the first things that I tried to do too soon was to get into video. I would say do your podcast audio only to start with, but keep in mind that eventually, if it fits for what you're doing, add the video. And some people may disagree with me, but stay away from Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir, brother.
That I tried using that one time, and then I started realizing that, no, that audio quality, that's not where we want to be. And audio, the audio quality is king. You've got to have really good audio quality. Otherwise, people aren't going to stay tuned and listen to you. And I don't mean you got to go out and spend $300-$400 on a microphone or anything like that, but they're just some basics that you need to do. And those are the things. I go back and I listen to my early episodes of the Ramblin' Review, and I was using a Microsoft Live Chat headset. I can't stand to listen to them.
Oh, well, again, welcome to the club. It's fun. But this is what I think is kind of fun about it. And I had a feeling your book was going to be like this, because you're doing what you did what everybody else did. I mean, my first podcast, I went back and listened to it. It wasn't called podcasting. I was just putting audio on a website back then. Mm-hmm. But I was actually using one of those suction cup things that you stuck on your phone to record an interview, and it just had this giant buzz, and it was just horrible. You know,
yeah.
And we've all kind of been there, done that. So what kind of gear are you using now?
Well, I have a PR40, which is what I'm talking on right now. And right. The, you know, the standard arm and shock mount and all of that. And I have a Mackie 1402 VLZ3 mixer. And I have Microsoft Studio Cams, as far as I've got two of those in the studio. And that's what I use to, you know, one's trained on me. And I've got a host section. My studio, which is, if you go to Anero Media on YouTube, that's my channel, you can find where I did a studio tour, and you can actually see what my studio looks like. It's probably, I'd say it's probably about 8 by 10, maybe. And my wife is a seamstress, and so she's very creative, and I'm surrounded by bed sheets. All the walls are covered in bed sheets. So it mitigates all the sound and what have you.
Sure.
But I record my audio on a 24-inch iMac. I record my video on an i5 system that I built earlier this year, which is also my streaming PC, because I stream all of my video podcast 24/7 to Justin TV, Ustream, and Stick'em or Stickcam, however you pronounce it.
Right.
And that's really pretty much the hardware, other than the headphone amplifier. I've got a 4-channel headphone amplifier and one additional microphone. So that's I think I sat down and calculated out, not including the iMac, which I've had since 07. I've got somewhere around about $2,500 worth of equipment that I wound up going through in about 12 months.
Very cool. Now, what are you doing to publicize and promote your podcast?
Well, that right there is probably where I need the most help. And you know, I'm constantly learning and constantly reading. Matter of fact, I found your book on Amazon and actually started reading it, as far as, you know, making money with podcasts and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, excellent. I've already picked up a couple of things. But I use Twitter heavily. You know, every time we do an episode, I'm always tweeting that out. I use Buffer app to schedule my tweets to go out over the South Geek Twitter account. And then, of mm-hmm. course, I reshare those over mine. And I have slowly gained an audience. I started out, you know, over a year ago. My Twitter account, which is GD Adkisson, had roughly, you know, for several months, I had somewhere around 20 to 30. And now I'm finally over about, I think just a few hours ago I looked, I'm like at 102, 103, somewhere in there. So, I mean, I'm really a small fish when it comes to this. But that's what I do, and I cross-post everything, like on Facebook, on Google+, on Twitter, and I do my best to SEO the sites, and there again, I'm constantly learning and reading, and I just consume information, and, you know, I try this, I try that. If it seems to work, I stick with it. If it doesn't, I move on to the next thing.
Now, are you, because I know this is what I did when I, in my first year of podcasting, I checked my stats probably three times a day. Is that a trap you've fallen into as well? Or
I did, and then I started forcing myself to back away and try to maybe check them about once to twice a week, because I still kind of want to know, you know, gauge that the topics that we talk about on the South Geek Ramblin' Review. Like I said, I had that one episode that actually wound up having about 800 downloads, and the topic we were talking about at that time was the FBI's concern about wiretapping, or the lack of being able to wiretap on IPv6 networks once the internet went 100% IPv6. And, you know, apparently we just did that episode at the right time, because it was IPv6 day when all of the a lot of the major players turned it on for good, and it shocked me the next morning when I looked at the stats. But yeah, I mean, I fell into that trap early on. I mean, it was like every day, gotta look. And I used the Blueberry stats and for all of my shows, and mm-hmm. and yeah, I had to force myself to stop doing that. Pretty much like I've had to force myself to stop looking at the sales of the book on Amazon. It'll drive me crazy.
That's a tough one.
It is.
It's like, oh, have you ever thought about, like, what are you going to classify as a success for your podcast? Like, do you have any goals for that? And it may not be, I know there's some of my podcasts that I just start because I want to do them. It's mm-hmm. something I want to talk about. And I don't really think it will be a success when I get X amount of downloads, or when I do, you know, sometimes I just do it because I want to do it. Is that kind of the boat you're in, or do you have a specific goal in mind? Or?
Well, it's kind of a hybrid answer, really. To me, a successful podcast is one that, of course, is entertaining enough and provides enough information that you do get the downloads, but that people are actually interacting with. You know, they actually post comments on the particular episodes, or they email you with questions or comments or things like that. And that's really where I want to get to. I mean, you know, monetizing a podcast is nice, and wouldn't we all love to be able to sit here and make thousands and thousands of dollars a month just talking behind a microphone? But because if we could, we'd all be doing it, and then podcasting, well, it'd be like radio. It'd be dying a slow death. But yeah, that's really what I'm looking at, is if it's a success to me if people like it. Would I like to get the South Geek Ramblin' Review up higher on the download numbers? Sure, I really would. But I also realize, as I said before, that is a very crowded space. So yeah. It's really all about the niche. And I'm thinking that, like, the Ben on Beer will probably be more successful, and the Ramblin' Review will just be one that I do for fun, because I do it with a good friend of mine, Ben, and my two sons. You know, it's a nice Wednesday afternoon, sit here for about an hour and get everybody's point of view. Make a little money off of it would be nice too.
Again, the book is called Podcasting Year One. You can find that out at Amazon.com. You can also find it at mypodcastingexperience.com. And one thing I want to point out, because right now it's just available as a Kindle book. And if you're thinking, oh, I don't have a Kindle, Keep in mind, you can read a Kindle book. It's like a PDF. I mean, there's a Kindle reader that's free. You can read it on your iPhone, on your iPad. So just because you may not have an actual Kindle, please don't let that stop you from picking up the book. You can get those. You can read it on just about anything.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Matter of fact, you can, and I don't use it that often, but you have the whole Amazon Kindle Cloud that you can actually, you know, if you don't want to actually install the app on the PC. And I'm looking at potentially going through their other service and actually making a paperback version of the book, but I don't really know yet. And eventually may make it available on other platforms, but for right now it's just Kindle ebook.
Well, the book that I recommend for people that are looking to do a book, it's called Self Publishing for Versions. It's by a book coach named Peggy Decay, and it's one of the best, like, step-by-step, here's what you want to do. And she talks about print-on-demand and things of that nature. And it's I've read about every book there was. It took me forever to make mine. And when I finally got her book, I was like, wow, this is that. And then there's another great website called All That Chazz, C-H-A-Z-Z. That's another author that puts out a lot of kind of insights into being an author. So you might want to check those out.
Okay.
But I want to thank you so much for coming on. Let me ask you one more question here on the way out the door here. Anybody thinking about getting into podcasting, what would be your advice to the new, hey, maybe I should start a podcast person?
Podcast about something that you are very passionate about. Because if you do not have passion for the topic, you're going to fall flat on your face.
Yeah, that's the truth.
that's all this, rule number one for me. If it's a subject that I'm kind of like, bleh, then I'm not going to be passionate about it. I'm going to sound like a wet dog or something like that. And I'm not going to be entertaining. So, and nobody wants to listen to, oh, woe is me.
There you go. Well, Donovan Adkisson, again, author of the book Podcasting Year One. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
I appreciate you having me here. Thank you.
And there you go. And again, Donovan definitely dove into the deep end of the pool. I mean, here he is in less than a year. He had multiple podcasts. That's aggressive, because I would rather have one podcast, do it well, and really grow that audience, because it's not just recording the podcast. Realize you have to promote that thing. You have to work it. You have to engage with your audience. It's a lot of work. And so he definitely dove into the deep end of the pool. And you can find more about his book and his podcast and his experiences over at mypodcastingexperience.com.
Are you the person in charge of your website? Then come check out the Weekly Web Tools podcast at weeklywebtools.com. Each week, we spotlight and review tools. We discuss strategies on web design and promotion. We talk a little SEO, all with the intent of enhancing your website. The Weekly Web Tools podcast. It's the podcast for the do-it-yourself webmaster. Check it out at weeklywebtools.com.
Last up, one of the things I wanted to mention is that last week in my hysteria of an episode, and I put that out, I had more people comment that said, Dave, thank you so much for putting an episode out where you were just frazzled. I'd had like 4 hours sleep last weekend. It was just a mess. And then when the dog started barking, I also realized something. That dog, because that dog is barking right now in the background. It just, again, when I hit record, they release the hounds. Release the hounds is podcasting, right? And the dog was barely heard in my car. So listen to your podcast, maybe where you think your audience is listening to them. You know, go into a gym. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts on a treadmill. I never hear any background noise because I have so much background noise in the room I'm in. So what I wanted to talk about, though, because I started this in last week's episode, saying how, you know, you should have an iTunes link. Find when iTunes says you're in iTunes, here's your link. Take that link, and here's how you can put a button, any button, in your sidebar. And this is going to be kind of visual. Maybe I'll make a tutorial for this. There is a tutorial for this at the School of Podcasting. But basically, go into a post. And add your media, link to that button so that it goes to iTunes. And then just simply switch to the HTML view and copy whatever is in there. Don't type anything else. Just copy that, then go over to Appearance, go to Widgets, drag and drop a text widget on your sidebar, and then paste that code in there, and boom, there's your button. So you should have an iTunes button. You should have a standard orange RSS button. Why? Because there are people like me that are now listening on their phone. It's not all about iTunes. And I was laughing because I was talking about Ralphie May, the comedian, and he has an RSS button on his website. There's nothing linked to it. Hello? The other thing I'm noticing, and it's a weird trend, and I'm not sure why, you don't have to have a player on your website. You can just have a link to the MP3, and behind the scenes, WordPress and other things are going to do their magic mojo so that it downloads in iTunes. But again, it's not just about iTunes. It's not just about podcasting. There are lots, and by lots, I mean lots of people that listen to your podcast on your website, especially brand new people. They just want a sample. And so I'm seeing more and more websites where I go and there'll be a direct link to the MP3 file. Well, the fun thing is, number one, when you click on that, depending on how your computer is configured, it may open QuickTime, it may open Windows Media Player, it may want to download the podcast. It's just, it's kind of a for lack of a better phrase, a crapshoot as to what happens with that. Why not put something, as a teacher, one of the things you want is a controlled environment. So why not give them a player that they can click on that you know is going to work? And that's where I recommend PowerPress. Now, there is a setting in PowerPress that I also recommend, and that is you want the HTML5 button. Now, this puts this little itty-bitty triangle, but the beautiful thing is you can make your own button. And I say that because I see, well, I'm actually on Donovan's website, not to pick on Donovan, but he's using the One Pixel Out player. This is a Flash-based player, and it will not show up on the iPad, on the iPhone, anything iOS. Now, the beauty of that is you can have it color-coded to match your website. So here's my tip on this. Okay, if you really want a color-coded player and you like the way that looks, take a screenshot of it on your website, save that as an image, and then upload it to the HTML5 player. There's a spot in PowerPress where you can say, use this as my button. I don't want that little itty-bitty triangle. So it will look like the One Pixel Out player. And when they click on it, it will launch the HTML5 player. Pretty sneaky, sis, right? So that is my tip for that. So I love PowerPress, but don't forget to switch to the HTML5 player so that people on iOS devices can listen, because otherwise they're going to be stuck. So here's what's happening. They go to your website, they can't listen because you've got the wrong player, and then there's no RSS button there to subscribe. They're on their phone, they don't want to throw it into iTunes, so you've made it hard for your audience. And if you only have iTunes, again, it's really hard to reverse engineer and get your RSS feed to where you can actually put it into the phone. So those are some things, again, that I wanted to kind of continue on. A little bit of a review of what I did last week. And my thing I wanted to add is, number one, put the player. Put the player on your website. Don't just put a link to the MP3 file. And if you're going to use PowerPress, use the HTML5 player. And that is going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. If you're looking to start, go out, click on the join button. The water's fine. The podcast water is fine. And I'm sitting here waiting to help you start a podcast. I want to thank Donovan. Go ahead again and check out his book and really interesting insights there. I want to thank Paul for his insights on MailChimp. We'll have links to everybody out at our website, again, schoolofpodcasting.com. Contact information, again, real quick, learn to podcast on Twitter. davidschoolofpodcasting.com is the email. If you want to do it via phone, it's 888-563-3228. That's courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. You can use the voicemail button on the website or leave a comment out at our blog, which is at our website, schoolofpodcasting.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode where I'll be talking about something I saw that I'm like, we need to talk about this. There are some other somewhat popular media hosts that are going to get you into trouble. And I'll explain why, and I'll explain how you're wasting your money. Because again, I don't want you to just start a podcast. I want you to start a podcast smart. I want you to avoid the mistakes that other people are making. And I know about these mistakes because people hire me as a personal consultant to dig them out of the hole that they dug themselves. So that's one of the best things about the School of Podcasting. Especially right now, my tutorials are up to date, and they're going to help you get the most out of the latest, greatest technology. And so thank you so much for tuning in. Again, the website, schoolofpodcasting.com. And until next week, class is dismissed. We will see you again on the inside. God bless.